Just in the time remaining, just a short time remaining, I want us to reflect on those, in fact, that verse, very well-known verse from Matthew 28 and verse 19. And just the first little phrase, which says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Go and make disciples of all nations. On a night of commissioning, as we have set apart Paul and Tricia, I thought we would reflect on the Great Commission, as it's called, of Jesus to all of us. And I want to speak on what it is or what it means to be a world Christian. Not a worldly Christian. A worldly Christian is someone who is shaped and influenced by worldly values. No, but a world Christian, and three things to reflect on. Using that little phrase, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations," and working backwards, starting with the all nations bit. Firstly, a world Christian has a world vision. A world Christian has a world vision. Jesus speaks to his disciples, and he encourages them ultimately to reach all nations, the whole world. Jesus is not just a savior to Northern Irish people, not even just to Nigerian people, but Japanese and Russian and Indonesian and Venezuelan and Norwegian and Iranian. God's desire was that we would reach all nations with the good news that Jesus has died for us and longs for us to be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. So in this sense, a world Christian is someone who is driven by a vision of reaching the nations for Jesus. John Piper says, "This is the big picture. Christ came and died and rose again in order to gather a joyful, countless company for his name from all the peoples of the world. This is what every Christian should dream about. Too often our dreams are too small, too parochial, too local, too selfish, if we're honest. The world Christian sees themselves as part of reaching the world and wants to be part of that great ambition and vision of God. This was the desire of the prophets. The prophet Isaiah said the church should be a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah 56 and 7. He says in Isaiah 60 and verse 3 that we would see that nations, all nations, will come to your light. The desire of the prophet Habakkuk, who longed to see the earth filled with the knowledge of his glory, as the waters cover the sea. The world Christian gets excited by this possibility, a world vision. The world Christian is encouraged when she hears stories of people turning to faith out of a culture that would have been hostile to God. And the world Christian fuels this vision, this world vision, by praying for missions work. And here we need to be very practical, because the world is a big place and we cannot pray for everyone and we cannot pray for everything. So it's good to focus on two or three mission agencies or two or three missionaries that you personally support and will pray for. A few prayed for regularly and systematically is better than trying to cover 100 randomly. And as you pray specifically and in an informed way, it fuels your vision as you partner with God in praying his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I would encourage you to get Paul and Trisha's mission points if you don't already, and to pray specifically for them. It lifts us out of the local. It gives us a global world perspective. And we long for that day when we see all nations gathered around the throne of God. As Paul says in Philippians 2 and 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. A world vision. The world is shrinking in a sense. We can communicate with the other side of the world so easily now with the internet and so on. But the world is also coming to us, and that encourages us in our world vision. I mean, 20 years ago, who would have thought walking down Church Street in Ballymena you would have heard Polish, Romanian, Latvian, Lithuanian? Who would have thought it? Who would have thought we would have had Syrians having tea in the foyer every Wednesday evening? Who would have thought it? The world is coming to us as well. A world Christian has a world vision. Secondly, a world Christian is earthed where they are. This may sound like a contradiction to what I've just said, but a world Christian is earthed locally. We think globally, but we tend to be earthed locally. There's a little phrase we sometimes hear, bloom where you are planted. It may sound like a contradiction, but the world Christian is earthed in a geographical locality. And we invest ourselves in making disciples where God has placed us. So if the first point is emphasizing all nations, the second part, as we work backwards in the verse almost, is that we are to make disciples where we are, where God has planted us. In a slightly different context, Paul in 1 Corinthians talks about a great biblical principle. He says, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. Each one should remain in the situation he was in when God called him. In other words, we start where we are. We start where God calls us. And we are called to make disciples here. Sometimes we might think, you know, if God called me to another country, I would be so on fire for the Lord, and I would be witnessing left, right, and center, and I would be on mission. But you don't do it here. It's almost as if you think God would change you, but he won't. Because if you're not doing it here, you won't do it there. God says, no, be earthed, make disciples, begin where you are, here, in your family, here, in your workplace, here in your college or university or school, here, now. A world Christian lives a salt and light life, making a difference, earthed in reality, here. In some ways, we could think maybe of going overseas as some kind of escape from home and mission at home. But we are called to make disciples where God has planted us and called us. And of course, as we are planted here in the Western world, we are finding that it's becoming more and more hostile to biblical values. It is becoming a cold house for Christianity. In some ways, and obviously maybe not more to the north part of Nigeria, but I would imagine in some parts of Nigeria it's easier to live as a Christian than in Ballymena. There is work of mission to be done all around us. John Piper, again. The Bible makes it plain that God's will is for his people to be scattered like salt and light among the whole range of secular vocations. Enclaves of Christians living only with Christians and working only with Christians would not accomplish God's whole purpose in the world. That does not mean Christian orders or ministries or missions are wrong. It means, in one sense, they are exceptional. The vast majority of Christians are meant to live in the world where they are and work among unbelievers where they are. This is their calling. Therefore, the burning question for most Christians should be, how can my life count for the glory of God here in my secular vocation? Yes, the world Christian has a world vision, but he or she recognizes that they live out that world vision here in their street, in their community, in their workplace, in the golf course or the football ground or in the restaurant. We can be so heavenly minded we are of no earthly use. The world Christian is earthed in the here and now, loving our neighbors, showing kindness and generosity and patience, giving people lifts, giving money to charity, lifting that litter, volunteering at a food bank or a charity shop, inviting people to an Alpha course or to Cafe Explore. We earth our vision in reality all around us day by day. As Eugene Peterson says in his well-known translation of Romans 12, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. The world Christian has a world vision. Yes, out there, as wide as the world, as big as the world. But it's also earthed here where we're planted. And thirdly and finally, the first little bit of that phrase, we've looked at all nations, we've looked at make disciples, but then it starts with go, therefore go. A world Christian is alert to a change in the call. While I have said that in the vast majority of cases, the goal will be in the context of where you are earthed, your local place, your hometown perhaps, there may be the call of God that works on you to call you to go more globally, to begin a church plant somewhere else, maybe even to move into full-time paid ministry or mission, maybe to go to mission overseas. A world Christian is always open to the possibility that God may disrupt you a little bit and take you out of your local home and place. We need to be always open to the Spirit's guiding and prompting. God can do this at any time. He can do it perhaps as you just become a Christian. He may lead you into overseas work or maybe after you've been a Christian for many years. Maybe you're in mature age and you feel God calling you to a completely different environment. After all, we are living longer. We are healthier the older we are. 60 is the new 50. 70 is the new 60. So it's encouraging to hear of folks who are maybe coming up to retirement who are being open to God sending them further afield in their retirement days. It's an exciting and surprising and joyful way of serving the Lord. And we need not be anxious or worried about this because if God calls us, He equips us and He prepares us. When God calls someone to leave home and work and family, He brings them to the place where they can do nothing other than that. It will be their joy to do it. They will want to do it. Yes, there is sacrifice, but it won't feel that way because God has led them to that point. The world Christian is always open to this possibility that God may have a change of plan for them, a change of the call. A few Sunday evenings ago, Keith reminded us, and Mike also reminded us earlier, of the unreached peoples. And Keith, in his sermon, said that there are around 4.19 million full-time Christian workers, and yet 95% of them are working within the evangelized world. There are 78,000 evangelical Christians for every unreached people group. If less than 1% decided to go, there would be an overwhelming missionary force. And he said, brothers and sisters, God has equipped the church with more than enough resources to make His name known to the ends of the earth. And the question is, will we go? And this evening, there may be someone who hears the whisper of the Spirit, thinking about doing something just completely different with the rest of your life, reaching some of those unreached peoples. This is part of the greatest ambition and vision that we could know, to be co-partners with God, reaching a confused and lost and broken world with the good news of Jesus Christ, the Savior of all nations. Are you a world Christian? Is your vision for the world the same as God's vision? Is it earthed as you head out tomorrow to work? Is it earthed where you are, where you work, where you live, where you play? And are you open, always open to the new possibilities that God may have for your life? On this night of commissioning, once again, we hear our Lord's great commission. Go, make disciples of all nations.